Welcome to the Brett Chappell Show, brought to you this morning by Hometown Hardware and Party Hospital. Here's Biscuit head football coach Brett Chappell and the voice of the Bears, Chad Upton.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to get underway the Coach Chappell Show this morning after Pisgah takes care of East Henderson last night. Go to 4-0 on the regular season now, 2-0 in conference play. And obviously, you know, we're still and are still early in terms of conference play. But to be able to continue to sort of control the destiny of where this team is and, you know, give yourself a chance to win a conference championship outright is where we are right now, and obviously that'll bode well going into the playoffs too, but you got to feel pretty good after what was a really dominant performance on both sides of the ball last night for the team, offensively and defensively. It really felt like that we had everything clicking, and after the 2 weeks that we had prior to that, you know, the overtime game at Smoky Mountain, and prior to that, obviously the win at Mount Airy that came late is probably good for those kids to get an opportunity to get a win in that fashion and give your opportunity and that, you know, with some of your second team kids late to get a chance to play and take a look at a few things. You got to feel pretty good this morning, I'm sure.
It is. You know, one of the things we talked about after the game last night, and I was really pleased with the fact our kids didn't look ahead, you know, and we didn't necessarily play down to your opponent's level either. I thought our kids did a really good job with coming out and getting after it from start to finish. You know, we reiterated it at halftime and thought they did a good job coming out in the second half as well. I mean, you could have, you know, kind of sit back and just watched everything transpire, and these kids just kept moving the ball forward. I thought all three phases of our game were really good last night, offensively, defensively, and the special teams really did a good job as well. And, you know, we'll dive into that in a little bit, but just overall, just a great win for us. You mentioned it already, moved to 2-0 in the conference. You know, there's two, us and Brevard, the only teams that are undefeated in the conference right now. Still, everybody still got three games to go. Certainly, we got some tough games ahead of us, but we've positioned ourselves in a good place, and we'll see what we can do.
One of the things that I thought was really important last night was, you know, what we were able to do to get Kane some completions, rolling him out seemed to do well, rolling him out and throwing downfield seemed to be comfortable in the pocket, even with, you know, the pocket beginning to collapse. I thought he threw the ball really well last night and was able to find those receivers. If you guys are adding, you know, those elements, the offense is really, really going to be very dangerous going forward.
You know, those are things that we've been working on, you know, since we started all the way back in February. To a surprise to some people who think we don't work on it at all. I mean, that's something that we, you know, stress as we go through practices each week and stuff that we game plan. Kane is certainly capable of doing some things for us through the air as well, and we got some good receivers. We were able to do a few things with them last night and, you know, gain some confidence as well, you know, as we move forward. And these are things we know we've got to have. But I thought it was a good showing all the way around. I think we ended up having six different ball carriers last night. You know, obviously we had a couple different receivers catching balls, but it was a good overall night. You would think, you know, and we'll go over the stats in a minute, you would think that the stats would really be some big numbers, but offensively our guys worked on the short side of the field most of the time, so there wasn't as many yards gained, and that's, you know, a credit to our defense and where they were stopping them at and special teams, and we started on a plus 50 quite a few drives last night.
When was the last time you saw two safeties by your team in a game? I don't remember.
Never been a part of one where we've had that happen, you know, and we didn't really have a block on. You know, we got the defensive one, but we didn't have a block on the punt return. The kids seemed to be holding the ball a little bit longer, and it was allowing their coverage team to get down. So we had hollered out to a couple of our guys, make sure he kicks it. Go ahead and get on up in there and make sure he kicks it. Yeah. And for some reason, he continued to hold it a little too long. Yeah. And, you know, Gabe was able to block it. And I thought Ethan was going to get the touchdown, and it squirted out from underneath him.
Yeah. Well, again, it was good to see that, too, and, you know, creating some opportunities for your offense. You mentioned working on the short field. Feels like that, you know, we have, by and large, in the last 8 years, been able to work more often than not on that short field, and that certainly gives you an advantage. I'll go over to the other side, though. You know, still very dangerous, I think, defensively between the tackles. Linebackers played really, really well last night. You're talking about, I mean, what I had was 19 yards of total offense for East. I don't think they had any yards of offense at all in the first half. They really were just unable to generate anything against the defense last night.
No, you know, the defense really played well. They had zero first downs. You know, had a couple of penalties that we aided them a little bit in moving the ball, but overall, you know, didn't really give up anything. No passing yards, and we actually had them for zero rushing yards, so we had zero as a total last night. We had 397 total yards. We had 13 first downs. I think it was 280 yards rushing and 117 passing. You know, I mentioned it before, we had six different guys carried the ball. You mentioned defensively about the linebackers. We've got some really good players on defense all the way around, but that defensive front allows those linebackers to be clean and to run free like that. And Bailey and Gabe and Levi they continue to make big plays around the line of scrimmage. We're able to move some people around. Obviously, you got Warner and, you know, Caleb Bradford and Bryson Davis and Hunter Brown, and then you mixed a few other ones in there with Heath Hanna and Reese Moore came in and did some things for us as well. It was nice to see, but they were just dominant up front for us last night.
How would you rate that group in terms of the front four and their ability to create pressure on quarterbacks? I mean, it's as good as I can remember seeing in the last, you know, we've had good teams and good front fours. Again, they just really create a lot of havoc and don't give a whole lot of time or opportunity for teams offensively.
It's one of the best that we've had.
Yeah.
And we've got some depth, and that helps as well when you can rotate some players in and out. And offensively as well, we're not having to ask, you know, all of those guys to go in there offensively. We've started to sprinkle in Warner a little bit on the offense, and, you know, Caleb goes over and plays some offensive line for us as well. But for the most part, those guys are really fresh, for us up front, but they're a special group.
It's an interesting, and you can tell me about this, you know, in terms of formation. You've got last night Warner, and I guess it's kind of a hybrid role, but that's kind of a tight end position that he's in on that wing. On the other side of the wing, you've got Ian, which is a completely different player. Talk about, you know, it looks like the same thing in terms of the formation, but their functions are different, though, correct?
Yeah, we're asking them to do different things. It's another one of those wrinkles that we've kind of added in, and we've got the personnel to try to tinker around and do some different things with it. We tried to get Warner in last night on a score down there, and we missed a block, and, you know, guy came through and got him before we could get him in there. But, it's just, you got some guys that are there. Sometimes you got to be creative about how you can do some things with them. And, you know, Warner brings to the table a good blocker, but he can run the ball as well.
Right.
And we've released him out for some passes. So, he's not the only one. Obviously, you mentioned Ian and Levi and Caden had a good game last night.
He did.
Out of wide receiver for us. And, you know, Logan came in. I thought Logan threw the ball well when he came in. And we really wanted to see him get a chance to get in there with those guys, with the ones, and run the show, because we know that's what the future is for us. And that was good to see him come in there and do the things he did offensively. Louis had another big game.
Yeah.
He had a touchdown call back and almost had one early and got tripped up.
Yeah.
But, he continues to be solid for us as well.
Going back to Kane, how much of the decisions that he's making are those decisions that are made in the huddle versus, you know, after the ball is snapped and making a decision based on what the defense is doing, whether he gives or whether he carries?
I think he had 12 attempts last night, 12 passing attempts, and I would say probably 9 out of those, 8 or 9 out of those 12. He had to make certain reads on it. He's having to make some decisions too. But he's getting more comfortable, getting back there. I thought he probably was going to take a sack maybe once or twice. I thought he had held it too long, but didn't. I mean, he stood in there and wanted to try to complete the pass. One of them he did. The other one we shot a little high. But, you know, like I said, just we're going to continue to progress in that department. Certainly we know we have to, but it was good to see the success we had last night.
I just want to change the subject just a little bit real quick. Last night, one of the things we noticed, a lot of penalties called on both sides. My understanding is that crew was from out of state. Talk about that a little bit. I mean, we're in a situation now, it sounds like, where, you know, we, you know, as a region, are having a hard time filling those roles. If we're having to go out of state, that really kind of puts lots of pressure back on that system.
It does, and I'm glad you mentioned it. The crew was actually out of Seneca, South Carolina. They're actually the chain crew for Clemson.
Wow.
So, you know, had a chance to talk to those guys earlier. They'd got called to come up. And, you know, our association here in this region is down. I mean, we've not got very many officials. I think they're down to 30-something officials, and they've been as high as 60 and 70. So those numbers have dipped some. I was actually in a regional meeting on Monday, you know, trying to hire a new supervisor, you know, for the booking agent who does those things. So I had a chance to have some input on it and got to work with Mark Drivelis and Q Tucker a little bit and, you know, made a recommendation, and they'll make the hire this coming week. But, you know, we've got to be able to, you know, have those relationships with the people in the communities in this area and get them involved with wanting to do it. You know, I think that was one of the things that we talked about in the meeting, you know, the regional meeting we had, was the recruitment of new officials and then being able to retain the ones that you got. So, you know, there's going to be some things that are going to change a little bit. Hopefully we'll be able to get those numbers back up and we won't have to draw as much. I actually talked to Travis Pittman from Mitchell last night, and they had the big game with Mountain Heritage, and they had a couple of officials from Tennessee. Mm. So it's not just here. I mean, it's all across Western North Carolina.
So what is causing that, in your opinion?
You know, there's a lot of variables, you know, in there. You got to be a special person to be an official to begin with. You know, you really got to love the game. You got to be able to put up with a lot as well. You know, not only from your coaches, but from your people in the stands. But, you know, it all comes back. And we had a couple of officials that were in that meeting with us Monday. And even they said it. They said, we do it because we love the game. You know, we love being out there. We love being with the kids. You know, certainly don't do it for the money. But, you know, we've got to be able to recruit some new blood back in here, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Back in a moment. This is WPT on the Brett Chappell Show.
Right now is the time to take on that painting project that you've been putting off. Hometown Hardware carries PPG paints, the highest quality paint with superior coverage, adhesion, and durability. Choose PPG paint for your next painting project with a variety of quality paints, wood stains, and much more. Looking for that special color? Hometown Hardware matches any color for both interior and exterior paint. For all your painting needs, Hometown Hardware has you covered. Go paint it with PPG.
Coach, obviously you're getting a chance now to see things shake out with regard to you know, football across the state, certainly in terms of the conference. You know, Franklin seems a little bit better. Any other surprises right now, or is it what you sort of thought it would be? And we'll talk about getting into next week and this big one against Hendersonville, too.
You know, I think for us, you look at the next 3 weeks and you've got three solid teams that you're going to face. You're going to see a really, really athletic team, you know, coming in here in Hendersonville next week. You're going to go against Franklin and have to go to Franklin. And, you know, they do a good job coaching up their kids. I know they've dealt with some injuries and some other things going on. And then you go to Brevard at the end, and right now they're the other team that's sitting there that's 2-0 in the conference. So, you know, we've still got three tough weeks ahead of us, but certainly excited about where we're at. You know, we've positioned ourselves really well, but we've got to be able to finish the deal, and we have to take it week by week. And again, I was just really pleased with our kids last night, watching them, you know, go through it. And, you know, I mentioned the offense and defense. The special teams did a really good job last night. I went back and looked. We started on the other side of the 50 three different times. We were 6 out of 7 on PATs. Our kickoff team was phenomenal. Luke Pinkston really boomed the ball for us last night. We had 6 times we made them start inside the 20, which was huge. And then, of course, we had the block kick for the safety on the punt return. But it was nice to see all of those teams get involved, all those kids get involved with some big plays for us.
You're talking about Luke. I mean, that's a big weapon. I mean, you know, he's got a big leg. And I know that consistency comes with, you know, with opportunities and those kinds of things. But you're right. He put one in the end zone last night on a kickoff. To have that as another weapon in terms of special teams is something that can win you a ball game down the road.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it was, he's gaining confidence as we go along as well. And, all of those pieces have to fit together. You've got to be able to put a complete game together when you play in big games. And certainly we got some big ones coming up. And everything's still sitting in front of us.
Yeah.
That's a good thing for us. Everything's still sitting in front of us. And an opportunity to go out and play again next week. It looks like we're going to have some rain again, which is not a surprise early in the week. I'm hopeful for our seniors that we get one good game on Friday night weather-wise so they can enjoy, because this will be the last one. It's the last home game coming up Friday. We'll have senior night that will be going on as well. And, if we're able to get through the conference and get into the playoffs, we've got a chance to possibly host a home game. But right now, we're guaranteed one more. So these kids got to make sure they understand that and enjoy that moment, that last walk across the bridge, all of those things that we've waited on for so long.
Yeah, every time we start the season, we talk about how fast it goes. This one has got to have felt very quick to get to this point right now for you guys.
It is. It's been a long process. I told the kids late this week and put it on their itinerary yesterday, 40 weeks since we started in June when the state turned us back loose to start lifting and doing those things. We've been going for 40 weeks, and, we got three more weeks left to go, so we're going to try to push through and get these guys a few more wins and see what we can do.
While I'm thinking about it, obviously we're bookending spring break this year, the last two games, and that's probably something that you've already spent a lot of time thinking about. That week between Franklin and Brevard, right? You want to have the kids engaged. You need them around. You don't need them, off too much. But you also want to give them an opportunity to have some spring break and have some time with their families, for sure. Have you thought about what that looks like and what you're thinking when you think about making a plan for those things?
We've had a we've had discussions about that since January.
Yeah.
And I usually put the calendar out for the summer in January so kids and the parents can start looking at vacations and planning those things. But we started talking about that in January, back when we started the first of the year, 2021, of, make sure everybody understands, we're not planning vacations around spring break. This one's going to be different. I mean, usually you got your baseball and softball and track that's having to deal with a spring break, but we're having to deal with it now. Talk to both groups, our JVs and varsity, and we want to be able to go play Brevard, that last week of the season, hopefully for both teams, with conference championship implications on the line. And we don't want to have any pieces we're missing, and we really stress that to the kids. I did, especially again this week. I know we're going to have some kids that are going to go off and want to do some things with families, and I certainly understand that. But for us to get those opportunities, we're thankful to be playing. We want to make sure that we get everybody there, everybody bought in, and so I'm excited about the possibilities, but we still got some work to do.
Do you bring the kids in during the day during the spring break, or do you keep it normal in terms of time?
We haven't really talked about schedule wise. We've still got quite a few of our coaches who will be working that week.
Yeah, that's true.
And so we won't do anything probably, as far as coming in early and things like that. But, we want to get them in there and try to keep it as normal as we can. Obviously, the biggest things that you're looking at on that week is, if you got kids maybe going not really out of town, but, doing some vacation and type stuff, maybe around close, getting them back in for practice, that type of things. But making sure they get up out of the bed and don't get in a bad habit of sleeping in too late and not playing the way they need to on that Thursday and Friday. So, again, some things we got to deal with. From my understanding, I think Brevard, Transylvania County is on spring break that week well.
Yeah, we talked
so, they'll be dealing with some of the same things we will be.
You mentioned this just a moment ago, that some of your coaches working. I just continue to be so impressed, with the quality of the guys that are associated with the program that goes beyond football. My wife Sarah just talks about that all the time. I mean, it's different sometimes what some folks, you and I, football sort of people, think about and what, mamas might think about. But just the quality of those guys is so strong. How well do you feel like, as far as the, you know, you make little changes here and there with regard to responsibilities, that seems to be going really, really well, and you continue to have such a strong group of coaches, and that's so important in football, because you do, you parcel out responsibilities that they're all really, really important, and you're talking about, you know, the way we've organized things, where there's one football program, and it's not two separate programs that are managed differently. The strength of those guys continues to be, you know, something that's really a feather in our cap, I know.
I think the growth that you see from the players from when they come in as freshmen to when they go out has been, you know, tremendous for us here. Our coaches do a really good job, you know, spending time with our younger kids just as much as our older kids as we go through practices and do all of those things. You know, we just have one staff. We don't split it up and do a varsity and a JV, which is something that I had started, you know, way back when I was at East Henderson. I just saw that there were so many positives in doing that. That was something we did. We started here once I got here. And, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy to go and to coach those young kids and then coach to your older kids. It's two different dynamics.
Yeah.
The Thursday nights, sometimes we will get caught up coaching really, really, really hard on Thursday nights and being a little bit give out, you know, when it comes to Friday night. So there's a fine line in there about how much you can do and all of those things. But the benefit has been tremendous when I go back and look at it and see the successes we've had. I think you look at our JV team this year, I think you're already seeing a lot of growth from when we started in week one to where we're at now. They've positioned themselves. You know, they're undefeated in the conference as well, you know, trying to push through and get another conference championship for that group. And you know, it's funny, we go into each season with those JVs and we just don't think that we will have a whole lot of success sometimes when we look at what's going on and how hard it is to get the guys going in the right direction. And just slowly but surely they start turning the corner a little bit and start buying into what we're doing, and you start seeing them be successful, and then they start believing in it. You know, and they start pushing themselves, and that's really neat to watch that happen.
Back with more in a moment. It's the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
Because there are still more smells and trails to explore, Party specializes in orthopedics. We offer arthroscopy, traditional and minimally invasive surgery, joint replacement, spine care, including robotics and injections, sports medicine, therapies, including physical, occupational, and aquatic, as well as physiatry and rehabilitation. Don't let injury or pain keep you from enjoying the outdoors. Locations in Arden, Asheville, Brevard, Hendersonville, and Waynesville. Find out more at partyhospital.org/orthopedics.
All right, Coach, so we go into next week, Hendersonville. You know, what is it that you know about this group? And it seems like they always have, number one, and we talked about this last night, everybody is going to give us their best shot from here on out, for sure. But Hendersonville tends to have athletes out there and can do some different things that maybe we don't see as much through the rest of the slate, maybe when you think about Brevard. But a very dangerous team, for sure, I know.
Very athletic team. It all starts with who they've got back. You know, there is their signal caller. They actually got a new one, Gavin Gosnell. Gavin, I've got a little background with him. He and Peyton went to elementary school together, you know, when we were in Henderson County, so we know that family very well. He was a quarterback for East Henderson last year, transferred to Hendersonville. You know, phenomenal young man, gotten much bigger. He's about 6'3", about 205, and he can sling it, and he's got people to sling it to. So certainly they're going to create a lot of issues for us. You know, we've got to be really sound in what we do and how we prepare this week, you know, for those guys. And we got to be able to continue to do the things that we've been successful doing so far this season. You know, offensively as well, I mean, we've got to help each other. Last night defense helped us tremendously in where we started field position. You know, offense was able to keep the ball away from East and do those things. And those are just, you know, little intricacies that you do and you work together, your special teams included, and all of those things have to come together, especially when we have big games. Now, thankfully for us, we've, you know, been in some close ball games. We found a way to win. I anticipate this will be another close ball game. You know, you're talking about a team that they got themselves back in the race last night. Mm-hmm. I mean, they lost to Franklin there, which was crazy on how that game ended 2 weeks ago, and then they turned around and got the win last night. So they're right back in it, you know, and I'm sitting there looking at them, and I'm like, man, alive, they've got, you know, everything working for them right now. They've got all of the pluses, you know, but it's just going to be a great ball game. It's another opportunity for us to go out and show what we got.
Yeah, you were just talking about that. That game was 14-0 at one point. The final, I believe, was Hendersonville 35-26 over Smokes. So a lot of points being scored, but most of those points were in the back half. Brevard got a win last night, I believe, over Franklin, too. So, you know, teams are putting points on the board. I want to go back real quick to East. What does it take for East to dig out of the situation that they're in? And I'm sure you still have lots of relationships with those families and those folks over there.
You know, it's a situation. We went over there with the JVs on Thursday night, and you know, you would like to be able to put your finger on this or that, and this would fix it. And you know, I just don't know. You know, there's still some really good looking kids. JV's, you know, had another good looking bunch. Probably the biggest, the biggest line that I've seen in a while. They walked out there Thursday night, and their starting right tackle and left tackle were 6'5 and 6'8 as freshmen. And I'm like, man, alive, where are these kids coming from? Mm-hmm. You know, that's like putting two Nealands out there.
Yeah.
You know, it tackles. But, you know, I think looking there at that program right now, I think, you know, one of the things that has made us successful is the continuity of our coaching staff, how long we've been together. Those things are important. And you see a coaching staff there that is very young, a lot of young coaches that are in there. And experience goes a long way, you know, in helping prepare kids and getting them ready. And, you know, they've got to be able to have that to lean on as well, especially if you've got a younger staff. You know, and eventually those things will come together and those things will happen. They're in a lull right now. And, you know, hopefully they'll be able to get out of it.
All right. Health-wise, going into next week, where are we right now?
Not as healthy as I want to be.
Yeah.
I had an injury last night with Devin Dodgen. You know, we will be without him for a while, unfortunately. But, you know, one of those crazy things, you know, football, you know, contact sport, nothing cheap that happened, just got kind of rolled up a little bit. But
when did it happen? We didn't see it. We missed it.
It was on a kickoff return after one of the safeties. You know, got kind of tackled on the sideline, you know, didn't look bad or anything like that. Got up and was kind of holding his arm a little bit, and you know, ended up going one more offensive play, and then came out, and you know, Tim Parrish, who's our team doctor on the sideline, he looked at him and checked him and said that we need to hold him out, and went and got him x-rayed last night, and his mom brought him back up to the field house. He got to spend a little time with her and a couple of the coaches last night, and you know, hate it for him. I'm thankful, and I was telling his mom I'm thankful for him that, you know, we've got the games in that we got, and he got the Tuscola game in as a senior. You don't want to miss any opportunities, but you know, that's a big blow for us. You know, also we got some kids that'll have to step up and fill some roles, but you know, he's been a great young man for us, and he'll continue to be a leader for us. I know Devin too well. He'll be just as involved as he has been, even if he's not on the field.
And one of those kids that you might see as a coach at some point down the road, right?
You know, got a lot of coaching intangibles about him, and you know, excited about, you know, that young man's future. You know, and you never know. We may be able to make a little bit of a run, possibly, and get into the playoffs, and we might get him back, but he'll be out for a little while.
Real quick. You know, obviously we're talking about basically shrinking the field down in terms of playoffs by half, right? I don't know, you know, in the past we've used different formulas, but with fewer games, it means that there's likely going to be more teams with similar records. How does that decision get made?
Right out of the gates. I mean, your first-round games are going to be like second-round games.
Yeah.
You know, right out of the gates, you're going to have a tough road. You look at our girls' basketball team, you know, conference champions, and they drew the defending state championships in the first round, but they got a home game out of it.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily going to come back to your record. They're going to throw all the conference champions in a pot. and they're going to draw.
I see. Okay.
And draw who the home team is and the brackets and all those things. So I'll be honest with you, I've not even looked really at any of the teams or the scores or any of that stuff down east. You know, some of our coaches have just kind of looked at some of the scores that's going around with some of the teams, but I haven't. I think it's going to be kind of a crapshoot, you know, for whoever gets in. Hopefully that's going to be us out of our conference, and, you know, we'll just have to sit back and watch all that take place and shoot some film to each other from opposing teams and get ready for that week.
Well, certainly look forward to it. Again, as we've said, we've got everything in front of us going forward. Pisgah, we'll be at home next week, senior night, 6 o'clock will be our airtime with the Black Bear Cafe preview, 6:30 game call, 7 o'clock kickoff from the stadium. Of course, we'll be right back here next Saturday morning with the Brett Chappell Show. For head coach Brett Chappell, this is Chad Upton. Until next week, so long, everybody.